Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Patience, Don't Give Up.
Now, Lord, we commit this sacred moment to you. Help us to decrease so that you may increase. Send a word that will not impress them with the pastor or the church, but will impress them with your presence. For in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Have your way, Lord. Move right now. This is our prayer. Your name we pray and give thanks, and all of those that are so grateful that you are safe, clap those hands, give God a hand of praise. Thank you team, thank you. Listen, as you remain standing for the reading of God's word, if there's any time perhaps we need to hear that one word in these turbulent times that we're living in, the word is safe. It's all right. It's going to be all right. Thank you. Thank you. Let me say before we get into the word to Dr. Todd Walker, to Dr. Kerjana Walker, Kenyana Walker, I think it was. Thank you. And to their wonderful daughter, thank you for relocating to Columbia from Columbus, Ohio. Thank you so much. Powerful educators. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Walker. I was so impressed, not just with his ability to lead this district, but as a man of faith. We were in a meeting talking about education and ended up talking about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I say, that's my kind of guy, man. And so thank you so much. And we welcome you to Columbia, and we look forward to working with you. And certainly to our Educator of the Year, Jamarcus, Dr. Jamarcus. Amen. I love that brother, man. He is so faithful. And I thank God for you, Jamarcus, and to all the educators here. I know we've celebrated you before. But someone said something that I really, really appreciated. Said they hope one day educators are honored like soldiers and paid like physicians. That's all right. I honor you as soldiers, and I hope one day you are paid like physicians, because none of us would be here today if it had not been for an educator. Listen, I give a shout out to Brother Jerry Hollis, fifth grade teacher at Atlas Road Elementary School, Renee Williams' brother, who took me and others as a young boy with a stuttering impediment. And he imparted something in me that has never left, and that was the courage and the wisdom to believe that despite what my limitations or handicaps may have seemed to have been, with God, all things are possible. Amen. So all of you who owe at least something to an educator, you ought to clap those hands and open your mouth. And a special congratulations today after the 8 o'clock, we had a baptism service for 25 souls that were baptized in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. There's a word from the Lord as we continue this series that God has given us entitled The Power of Patience. In this year that we have deemed as the year of spiritual empowerment, this is the fifth of six messages we will conclude on next Sunday, dealing with the power of patience. We've taken all of the fruit of the Spirit, and this is the fourth fruit of the Spirit. We've dealt with love, we've dealt with joy, we've dealt with peace, and now we're dealing with patience. How many of you know that everybody needs patience? Amen. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. One scripture verse from one powerful chapter in one epistle. That is the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse number 9. Hear the reading of God's word. We've chosen the New Living Translation so that you will get perhaps a clearer understanding of the text. Hear God's word. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time. Somebody ought to help me say amen. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. And we ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of His word. As we've done throughout this series, our subject is lifted directly from the text. Our subject is the last words of the text. Look at someone that's standing by you and simply encourage them with these words. Encourage them and say, don't give up. Now wave at somebody behind you and say, don't give up. Clap those hands as you take your seats. Don't give up. Said to the church this morning, to everyone in here, that the enemy said you would have given up by now. For everyone in here that the enemy declared it will not last, but you're still here. To everyone in here, the enemy says that I will take you out, but you're still standing. Can I evoke the old church? The old church was says, tell the devil he's a liar. Look at somebody and say, the devil is a liar. Yes, he is. Listen, in last week's message, which was the fourth message of this series, it was stated in that message on last week that waiting on the Lord empowers us to rise above life's obstacles and distractions and do what? And soar like an eagle. But those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40 and 31, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That was last week's message. In today's message, we want to encourage those who are doing all you can to remain faithful. Stop by to encourage those who are doing all you can just to hold on and not go back. Doing all you can to withstand when everything around you seems to be falling apart. To encourage you to never give up as you wait on your breakthrough. How many of you know that you are still standing because God has been good to you? For there are times, can I just be honest, in our lives in which it gets difficult to keep going. There are times if we are transparent and real with each other. I told you, you often hear me, that two things God expects is authenticity and organic praise. There's no time to fake this. There are times in which we go through stuff, in which it's not always easy, especially considering some of the things that we may have gone through are some of the things that we find ourselves right now going through. However, giving up can never be an option. I confess that is hard. Listen, if there's one thing that I try to do, is not to minimize or trivialize what someone else is going through. I don't like that. I don't like how someone can tell you what they're going through and we go, oh, it's not that bad. How do you know how bad it is? Or they get all deep and spiritual on you and start quoting scriptures about how you ought to just shake it off and you going, it's hard. It's some mornings you wake up and it takes everything you have just to keep going. Can I keep it real? It gets difficult sometimes. The old folks says, the enemy is on my track and trying to turn me back. But we've got to understand that quitting, giving up, can never be an option. Listen to what the Bible says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, the New King James Version. Paul writes, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Am I preaching to anyone? Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Somebody ought to just shout, I am still here. I may not look as good as you look or as strong as you are, but I just thank God that I am still here, that I can still give God a praise. Listen, I've always liked to include quotes from secular resources to back up the biblical text. There's a wonderful quote by Winston Churchill, and he is quoted as saying, success is not failure. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. If you want to know what matters to God, it is your ability and endurance and the perseverance you have to continue despite all the things that you're going through. Then one of my favorite quotes from an anonymous Japanese proverb. There's a wonderful Japanese proverb that simply says this. I love this quote. Fall down 7 times, stand up 8 times. In other words, get up. Doesn't matter how many times you fall or how many times you fail. Oh, somebody ought to help me say, get up. Encourage somebody and say, get up. In fact, tell someone, keep getting up. Get knocked down 7 times, I stand up 8 times. Tell the enemy, you've got to keep knocking me down because I'm going to get up and brush myself. I am still here. Y'all know, and I've got this. Thank you to one of our dear members who gave me a life-size poster of Sister Seeley from The Color Purple. Y'all know I love Sister Seeley, right? After all the things Seeley went through, her abusive husband at the inn as she was getting in that car. Say, you may be gone, but you're still broke and you're still ugly. She said, I may be still broke, maybe still ugly, but I'm here. Oh, who am I? All I need is just a handful of folk that know I may be bruised, abused, but I'm still here. Somebody ought to give God a praise just for being here. I may not be as strong as you are, but I'm here. I may be limping or crawling, but I'm still here. Get on the devil's nerve and give God your best praise. Get up. Tell somebody, get up. Look behind you, encourage somebody, say, get up. Tell somebody, keep getting up. Dry your tears up, hold your head up high. Straighten your back up. God, I live and God, I die. I've come too far. Turn around now. Is there anybody who feel like going on? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. You've been through too much. Woo. Look at somebody, say, you've been through too much to give up now. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up. Listen, as we turn to this incredible iconic text and explore what it says to us concerning not giving up. But allow me just to put some background or put the text in some context for you. Paul writes this incredible epistle to the churches in the region of Galatia. And he writes around 49 AD. Why is that important, Pastor Jackson? Because there are many scholars who believe that it was the first epistle that Paul writes. He writes this epistle, 49 AD, during a tumultuous time for believers and converts. They were being persecuted. They were being abused. But yet the enemy had infiltrated them, and there was division and strife among them. Galatia is somewhere around modern-day Turkey today. It was where Paul took his first missionary journey. But he writes back somewhere around 49 AD, AD 49, and he writes to address a couple of issues. And finally, at the end of the epistle, chapters 5 and 6, to encourage these converts. He addresses what is known as Jewish legalism towards Gentiles. And he says to them that we ought not get so wrapped up into the legalism of the law. There were these Jewish converts who had converted to Christianity, but yet they wanted to drag along all of their legalism. And Paul talks very specific in Galatians about this. Chapters 1 and 2, he deals with this. He even criticizes Peter throughout the book of Galatians. He says, I had to checkmate Peter because Peter acted a certain way around Jewish Christians and then another way around Gentile Christians. Y'all have heard that before. Folk do that, right? And Paul says, you can't be all things to everybody. You've got to decide to be for Jesus, and if folk don't like that, that's their business. You can't please everybody. But then, at the beginning of Galatians, this perhaps first epistle Paul writes, he shares his own personal testimony. He tells them that I am an apostle called by God. He says, I admit that I didn't follow Jesus at the beginning. I persecuted the church. I have baggage associated with my history. And so some of you may not trust me, but let me share my testimony. I just want to encourage you to know that if God can bring me from where he has brought me, God can do it for you. So don't get so caught up in the rituals of church that you forget the spirit of church. It really doesn't matter what they wear as long as they show up. May I preach? It doesn't matter what's on their head. What matters is what's in their heart. And so he deals with being burdened by legalism and rituals and church protocol, so much so that you lose touch with what God is trying to do. He does that for four chapters. And then, beginning at the 13th verse of chapter 5, Paul makes a shift. And from 5:13 and chapter 6, Paul begins to encourage these new converts to hold on to their faith in the midst of trials and tribulation. In other words, I've told you, don't worry about all the legalism and folk that are trying to send you to hell for not adopting their own convictions. You got to just hold on to your faith. You can't be what everybody wants you to be. Just be what God wants you to be. And know if I can just, I can't please everybody. I'm not trying to be the best pastor in the world. I just want to be the best Daryl Jackson I can be. And all God asks you to do is be the best that God has called you to be. And then in chapter 6, Paul encourages them in a way that involves selflessness, because so much selfishness has been going on in the church. And he takes verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6, and he says, I need you to look out for each other. Now listen to this, especially when one of yours fall prey to sin. In other words, stop judging people. Stop kicking people out of the church. In fact, you do know you have no church to kick somebody out of. It belongs to God. We need to help each other. Take note of what Paul writes in chapter 6 in verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Stop pointing fingers. Stop judging people. Stop gossiping about somebody else's demise and how they fought. Oh, I thought they were a whole lot stronger than that. Y'all heard what so-and-so did? Stop all of that foolishness. Those of you who claim to be godly, help somebody who's fallen get back up. Can I preach to you? Paul said, I want to encourage you, but you need to learn how to encourage each other. Yes, we are our brothers and sisters keepers. Yes, it is our responsibility to help somebody. Nobody is as deep as they think they are. None of you, not all of these holier than thou folk, all of these folk who walk around with this judgmental attitude and claim that they have done nothing wrong and everybody else ought to be condemned. Yes, you have. First of all, stop lying to yourself. You are, help me, Holy Ghost. You have committed the greatest of all sins, and that is lying to yourself and lying to God. We all admit that we all have fallen and fallen short of the glory. I just want to make sure I'm in the right church. I want to make sure I'm preaching to the right folk. Is there anybody in here like me? Every morning, thank God for new mercies. God knows, I can't even get by on the mercies of last week. I thank God for, it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed. His compassion faileth not. It is renewed every morning. Somebody's, I just need about 50 or 60 or 100 folk. Somebody ought to just stand and shout one time. Lord, I thank you for new mercies. You didn't have to do it. Woo. The only reason, preach, Pastor Jackson. The only reason you are not institutionalized For some of you, the only reason you're not incarcerated, the only reason why some of you isn't walking the street, is because God's mercy has found you, pick you up and turn you around. So no matter what your story is, you ought to have at least one praise, thanking God for what could have been another way. Am I right about it? Look at somebody and say, it could have been another way. When you see me walking right, the song said, when you see me talking right, it's not me, it's God using me. Oh. All I need is just a handful of grateful people to stand and shout one time, Lord, I thank you. You are looking at a living testimony. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. The only thing standing between you and being an alcoholic is the mercy of God. Only thing standing between you and being drug addicted is the mercy of God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for new mercies. Thank God. It could have been, it should have been, it almost was another way. But God, but God, I don't need to see it. When I think of the, woo. Let me preach. I forgot. I got to preach again at 3 o'clock. So let me get this in. Verse number 2. Paul shares these words in the first clause of verse number 2. Share each other's burdens. If you care for somebody, share their burden. We are happy to share their successes. But the question is, are you willing to share each other's burdens? Is there somebody sitting next to you that know they don't have to go through this by themselves? Ooh, there ought to be somebody that you can share somebody else's burden. You don't have to struggle through this by yourself. Ooh, the song back in the day when Deacon Clarence was a young hip hopper and thought he was a player, lean on me when you are not. We all. One more time, everybody, come on in. Now, deacons, you ought to at least get up for that. Clap your hands. Y'all stop.
Go ahead.
Some of y'all, that took y'all back. You had a little more pep in your step back then. Amen. Let y'all stop. Y'all sit down. Somebody felt like they were going in the club. Hey, Leah. Verse number 9. Somebody say, go ahead and preach, Pastor. Verse number 9. Of the text, Paul writes these most iconic words. Let us read them, share 3 observations and insights, and then invite you to this altar. So let's not get tired of doing good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessings. Ooh, if we don't give up. Three key insights, three key observations from this text. Number one is this: we must never become tired of doing what is good. Look at somebody and say, never become tired of doing the right thing, doing what is good. Listen, there are two thoughts from this insight that I want to share with you. Number one is this: even when it seems as if it doesn't matter or no one appreciates you, keep doing good. You're not here just to hear your name called. Keep doing good. They may not ever call your name. You may not ever win the award that DeMarcus won, but you keep teaching, doing good. Everybody can't be honored at the same time. Somebody got to say, go on and do what you got to do. Keep doing good no matter what the situation is. If you feel unappreciated, do not allow that to steal your testimony. Too many folk have taken a break on God because they were mad at somebody else. So what? They talked about you. I've got some news. They're going to keep talking about you. And the next church you go to, they're going to talk about you there too. Folk will always have something to say. And so we must not become tired of doing what is good. We must not become weary in well-doing. The second sub-point to this first insight says this, and I love this. God gave me this, and I need to put it on the board because I need you to help me. Look at somebody and say, remember who you're doing it for. If you're doing it for Pastor Jackson, I am human. I have a tendency to forget, and I don't like calling names, okay? But if you're doing it for other people to pat you on the back, perhaps they will forget your labor and your hard work. But if you are doing what you are doing to hear the Lord say, well done. If you're doing what you're doing for the kingdom of God, then it doesn't matter who does not recognize you. What matters the most is that I'm doing what God has called me to do. Is there anybody in here that's decided that I'm doing this for the kingdom of God? Somebody ought to give God a praise, because one day God will say, well done. One day God will say, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you Lord. Oh, remember who you're doing it for. It's not for Bible Way, not for Pastor Jackson. You usher, not for me. You're a deacon, not for me. You're a minister, you are faithful, not for me. But you do it for God's sake. Somebody who knows that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. For God's sake. For God's sake. For God's sake. Somebody help me say, for God. For God's sake. For God's sake. The second key insight and observation found from this text is this: we will reap a harvest of blessings at just the right time. Not your timing, but God's timing. Oh, the old folk used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Anybody want to testify that he's an on-time God? He's an on-time God. I just want to make sure, are there any witnesses to know he's always? Look at somebody and say, he's always on time. Listen, a harvest takes time. It's a process. You don't plant a seed in the ground one day and expect to cook the vegetables the next day. Am I right about it? If you are going to get fresh vegetables out of your yard, it is a process. It takes time. You have to cultivate the ground, put the seed in the ground. You have to fertilize the ground. You have to water what you planted. You have to keep the weeds. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. You have to keep the evil spirits and the naysayers from stealing your joy, your testimony. You've got to work it. Look at somebody and say, you've got to work it. You've got to work. One day, Deacon Simmons, I don't know, I must have fell off the bed and bumped my head. I woke up one morning, told my wife, I think I want a garden in my backyard. She said, you? Think about what you are saying. You want a garden in your backyard? How are you going to get it? And she reminded me, I said, no, thank you. Forgive me, Holy Ghost. Thank God for folk who I know have gardens in their backyard who can bring me some of their fresh produce, because I know that I don't want to go through the process of getting the harvest. Many of us want the produce, but not the process. And I'm hearing God say, if you want the produce, you've got to go through the process. Listen, perhaps the most difficult part of the harvest process is not the planting or the watering or the weeding of all the weeds, but the wait. Perhaps the hardest part is just to wait. But waiting means when you've done all you know how to do, then you just have to wait. After you prayed and prayed, how many of you are waiting on a breakthrough right now? Some of you are praying for your family members. Some of you are praying for a child or a grandchild. And God said, I've heard your prayers. You've done all you know how to do. We've got to learn how to wait. Look at somebody and say, just wait. Just wait on the Lord. And if you wait, wait with joy. Wait with the praise. Don't wait complaining or mourning. I will bless the Lord at all times. Lord, I thank you. It did not happen today, but I still thank you. Can somebody give God a praise while you wait? While you wait, you ought to praise God, because I have the faith to believe that it's on its way. You planted, you watered, now you're waiting. Anyone know it's coming? Encourage someone sitting next to you and say, it will come. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings. Number three, if you don't give up, stand to your feet. We're almost done. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, don't quit. Harvest is on its way. Neighbor, if you can hold on just a little while longer, something good is about to happen to you. Don't quit. Leave your seat and encourage somebody and say, don't quit. Hold on. Hang in there. Don't quit. The devil is a liar. I've come too far.
to quit now at just the right time. You will reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give. Somebody help me declare, I will not give up. I cannot give up. I shall not give up. Encourage your neighbor and say, help me hold on just a little while. Come on, y'all need to encourage somebody and say, you can make it. Go find two people and say, you can. Woo. Joy cometh in the... One more time. Joy cometh in the... Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. The seed is in the ground. Mother Jackson, the seed is in the ground. Mother Lumpkin, the seed is in the ground. Shake a neighbor's hand and say, the seed is in the ground. Don't give. We've got to go, but I feel a quick praise. I sense a quick praise. Somebody take 60 seconds and give God a praise, because the seed is in. Lift those hands all over this place. Here's my last point. We must not ever give up, because quitting, I just want you to get to this. I want to get to this on the screen. Quitting is not just giving up on ourselves, but quitting is giving up on God. When you quit, you're saying, God, I don't trust you. God, I don't have faith in you. You're not just giving up on yourselves, but you're giving up on God. We must not give up on God. And here's why. Because he won't. Somebody just got it. This is a church in which we encourage each other. Look at somebody and say, we can't give up on God, because he won't give up on us. Lord, I thank you. You could have given up on me a long time ago. Lord, I thank you. You could have thrown me away, but you didn't. We can't give up. Don't give up. And let us not become tired of doing what is good. But at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. The altar is now open. Somebody in here that the enemy has tried his best to convince you to give up. But here's the altar call song. I can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road
would be easy. But I don't believe somebody else right now. Listen, I would care less about what somebody think about you coming to this altar, because this is between you and God. Amen. Perhaps there's somebody that the enemy has been on your track and trying to discourage you, convince you that you're not going to make it. But the assignment today is to encourage all of us not to give up. Nobody, start right there. Do you know what my friend told me? That the road would be easy. Once again, I can't listen.
Can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from.
Is that anyone's testimony? Yeah.
There. see something coming out of the ground right now. You can't give up now. You can't give up. Woo. Can't quit now.
Believe. He brought me this far.
Sing, Regina.
Yeah. I really don't believe.
Trying to get out of here, but I feel something right now. Woo! I feel a breakthrough is about to happen right now. Look at somebody and say, don't quit now. Encourage somebody and say, don't give up now. Tell them you can't. Is there anybody here before we pray that don't want to leave this church the way you came? Is there anyone in here that's looking for transformation? Raise your hand. That's right. Look at it. Those hands are being raised now. Here's what I want you to do. To those of you who've got your hands raised, I'm not here to invite you to look for church membership. I'm here to invite you for transformation, because everybody that joined the church is not transformed. And if you don't ever join the church, I just want you to be changed, amen. Because I believe that God is about to do something in your life right now. So after we pray, to those of you that are looking for transformation, there's a barcode on the screen, you can just tap it. If you're joining us virtually, if you're listening by way of radio, this is your moment. I'm about to say something before we pray. You planted the seed. You've watered the ground. Now I see something coming out of the ground. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, something is about to pop up out of the ground. Something is about to happen in your life. You've been waiting, you've been hoping, you've been praying, and God says, I'm about to move on your behalf. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Lift those hands. Eternal Father, we thank you. God, we bless you. Thank you for reminding us not to become weary in well-doing, not to get tired of doing what is good. Your word said, for at the right time, just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Someone has made the devil out to be a liar. They've declared and decreed, I will not give up. God has been too good for me to give up. And Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for transformation. Thank you for conversion. Thank you for reminding us this is not about legalism, but this is about salvation. Thank you for reminding us to lift one another's burden. Thank you, Lord, finally, for reminding us that if we don't give up, there is a harvest of blessings with our name on it. And we say thank you. This is our prayer. Your name we pray and give thanks. And those who know it is so, those who know God is good, those who know your blessing is on its way, those who know you've come too far to turn around now, shout amen, amen, amen. Find somebody, put your arms around them, say you don't believe.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled The Power of Patience, Don't Give Up, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 08-1025. Again, the telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 08-1025. August is Children and Youth Month at Bible Way. Tuesday, August 19th, 7 p.m. in the sanctuary, join us for midweek service hosted by our Children and Youth Ministry with special guest, Youth Pastor Timothy Griffin. Saturday, August 23rd, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Wired Youth Ministry is hosting a mental health summit, Safe and Seen, for all middle and high school students and their parents. Please make plans to join us at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road Youth Development Center for this very important discussion. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.